This is VOA News. Via remote, I'm Diane Roberts. The U.S. Republican National Convention starts today in Charlotte, North Carolina, with party stalwarts set to renominate President Donald Trump for a second term in the White House. The president is scheduled to speak four straight nights during a mix of live and virtual events. He's expected to attack Democratic opponent Joe Biden. In an AP interview, Winthrop University political science professor John Holder says President Trump needs to make a strong case for why he deserves a second term.
He can bash Joe Biden all he wants to, and last week Joe Biden and his campaign could bash Donald Trump all they wanted to, but he's got to make a positive, affirming case for his reelection, and you don't do that just by yelling out adjectives about the other guy.
Researchers around the world have their eyes on potential COVID-19 treatments. At a news briefing, the World Health Organization's chief scientist says studies with convalescent plasma therapy have been small and so far have not indicated a breakthrough.
The results in some cases point to some benefit, but have not been conclusive. And we've been tracking this. We do ongoing meta-analyses and systematic reviews to see where the evidence is shifting or pointing. And at the moment, it's still very low quality.
This comes on the heels of U.S. President Donald Trump announcing the federal government granted emergency authorization for treating COVID-19 patients with convalescent plasma. India has reached a caseload of more than 3 million coronavirus infections. It's still third in the world behind the United States and Brazil. The number of global infections is more than 23.4 million. This is VOA News. Japan's Prime Minister Shinzo Abe visited the hospital for the second time in a week, fueling speculations he may be facing a serious health issue. Following his visit, the 65-year-old told reporters he was following up on a previous visit and to undergo additional tests. He would not elaborate why the tests were given. 4-hour visit follows an examination last week that took about 8 hours. Monday, U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo praised Israel's normalization of ties with the United Arab Emirates, saying he hopes to see other Arab countries follow suit. Standing next to Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, Pompeo said, quote, "I'm very hopeful that we will see other Arab nations join in this," end quote. Belarusian authorities have detained two leading opposition activists who have helped spearhead a wave of protests demanding the resignation of the country's authoritarian ruler of 26 years. AP correspondent Charles de Ledesma reports.
The opposition's Coordination Council says the two members were picked up by police in the capital, Minsk, a move which signals President Alexander Lukashenko's determination to stifle the massive demonstrations, now entering a third week. The detention of opposition activists follows Sunday's demonstration in Minsk that drew an estimated 200,000 people, pushing for Lukashenko to step down following the August 9 election, which the opposition say was rigged. The detentions come a day after Lukashenko toted an assault rifle in a show of force as he arrived at his residence by helicopter as protesters rallied nearby. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
Monday, Iran's constitutional watchdog, the Guardian Council, set June 18th as the date for the country's next presidential election. The vote will choose the successor to President Hassan Rouhani, who has served 2 4-year terms in office. The Guardian Council approved the date, an Iranian election official told the official IRNA news agency. Candidates hoping to run in the balloting are to apply in early April for approval. The final list is to be announced in early June. Canada said it was demanding answers from Iran over the mistaken downing of a Ukrainian passenger jet after Tehran's, quote, limited and selective, end quote, initial report failed to explain why it fired missiles at the plane. Ukraine International Airlines Flight 752 crashed shortly after takeoff from Tehran's main airport January 8th, killing all 176 people on board, including 55 Canadians. Iran admitted days later that its forces had accidentally shot down the Kiev-bound plane. From Washington via remote, I'm Diane Roberts, VOA News.